good to have the crowd that we have tonight and Miss Elvira and George, and hopefully she will be well in her procedure that's planned for Wednesday, I think it is. But also keep Mickey Galloway and his wife in your prayers. He is, I think, on the road to recovery, but they're going to wait a couple of days and try to totally get rid of the infection that he has before they make a decision as to what to do. And hopefully they can do something less invasive. And also his wife, she has a lot on her plate at this time. Her dad just died, and she's trying to settle accounts, plus the weight of Mickey's condition weighing on her. And so according to Lauren, she's grieving and needs all the prayers that we can muster up. Tonight we're going to look at the lesson titled, There's a Great Day Coming. And so we'll look at the verses shown on the screen as we introduce the subject. But in Jude chapter, or Jude verse 5 and 7, 2-7, Jude goes, I will therefore put you in remembrance, so you once knew this, how that the Lord saved, having saved the people out of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation reserved in the everlasting chains unto darkness to the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, give themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh or sex, forth for an example, suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, Paul says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to his done, whether it be good or bad. Then another passage we're familiar with, the 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 6, where Paul says, seeing the righteous thing with God, the recompense tribulation to them that troubled you, and to you who are troubled, or those who are being persecuted, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power. When he shall come to be glorified in the saints, to be admired in all of them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his business and the work of faith with power. Then we know what Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter said, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. So we're going to be talking about the great day that's coming. So when we're talking about the end of the age, there are some things we want to mention that are a problem, and namely premillennialism. So premillennialism is a era that has been promoted and for a long time. There's different versions of the millennial theories, and a good book to read and study up on this is the book called God's Prophetic Word by Foy E. Wallace. Did a good job in defeating these millennial ideas. But premillennialism has some basic things. We have a chart here. But some of the basic elements of the doctrine are that when Jesus came to earth, he came with the intention of establishing an earthly kingdom. The Jews rejected Jesus and had him crucified. Therefore, God instituted an alternative plan to establish the spiritual kingdom, the church instead. So according to this theory, the church is a mistake. It was the second plan. It was plan two, because God was defeated, they said. And then we live in the church age, which will last until the earthly kingdom is established. At some time in the future, Jesus will come in the flesh and silently raise the righteous dead, and he will rapture the living saints from the earth. You've heard of the rapture, haven't you? Then there will be 7 years of tribulation that will stand on earth while Satan is loose for a little season. And then Jesus, after that, he'll return to the earth, bring his saints with him. There's going to be the battle of Armageddon. You find that word over in Revelation 16, verse 16. Which will be fought. Satan will be defeated. Jesus will be established. We'll establish an earthly kingdom over which you will reign for 1,000 years in Jerusalem, David's little throne, they say. So, at the end of the 1,000 years, then the wicked dead will be raised, and judgment will be given to all men. And then the righteous will go to heaven, and the wicked will go to hell. The basic ideas of premillennial living. But, now there's some things wrong you want to just mention in passing. First of all, it teaches that Christ came to establish an earthly kingdom, and the kingdom Christ came to establish was a spiritual kingdom. And it also teaches that Christ was defeated. In other words, he was a failure because he couldn't establish his kingdom. It teaches, or there's a long or logical implication that Christ then is not reigning as king. He's going to reign after the tribulation. But if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, everybody turn to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we can see just with one verse destroy this idea that people have. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we see what Paul talks about the resurrection, and he said in verse 24, then comes the end, when he shall have delivered the kingdom up to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So people are still dying, aren't they? They're dying both physically and spiritually. So that means God, or Christ, is reigning now. He's reigning over his kingdom, the church. There's a couple other problems you won't mention just in passing, but it teaches that the church, rather than being a part of God's eternal purpose, is an accident. We're going to accept that. And Paul talked about the eternal purpose of the church over in Ephesians chapter 3. Turn with me to that. Ephesians chapter 3, we see where Paul said, beginning in verse 8, he said there, he said, unto me whom least is the less of the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things in Christ, to the intent that now, through the principalities and powers and heavenly places, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus. So the church was of God's eternal purpose. It wasn't by accident. So they abuse Matthew chapter 24. They abuse Revelation chapter 20. All sorts of abuses and misrepresentations of Scripture. There's many, many other problems that we could mention, but we won't take the time to do that. But you've seen bumper stickers that say, in case of the rapture, this car will be without a driver. You've seen that. And so, the rapture theory is part and parcel of premillennial speculation. It states that the saints will be snatched, or that the righteous will be raptured from the earth to be with Christ. After this time, then Christ will come to the earth with his church and commence his 1,000-year reign in Jerusalem. If you read your Bible, this will all be news to you. It will all be news to you, like infant baptism, like Christmas, or Groundhog Day, and the Pope, and the rapture doctrine. It's not in God's Word. Not there. Not there. But also the Jews will return to Palestine. So these are just, in a nutshell, some of the basic principles are part of the premillennial doctrine. But, you know, what does the Bible teach on the rapture and premillennialism? Ever thought about that? I'll tell you real quick, not a word. Not a word. Now that rapture, or this idea of the rapture, is a notion devised by the so-called wisdom of men. It's not found in the Bible. The Bible teaches there will be one resurrection when Jesus returns of the just and the unjust. In Acts chapter 24, verse 15, Acts chapter 24, verse 15, we see where Paul said there, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. One resurrection. And this there, there are two. Then it will be the same hour. Jesus taught this. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5, or John chapter 5, verse 28, he says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that hear are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Next, we see where at the end of time, Christ will deliver the kingdom to God, as we read partly. And in Revelation chapter 15, beginning at verse 23, or 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23, rather, he said, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterwards David or Christ coming, then comes the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority, when he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet, the last enemy shall be destroyed his death. Then the day of the judgment will be a final day of final destruction. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, he said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be? And all holy conversation in godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, when the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Most of them go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 to support their rapture, but that's the wrong one for them to go to. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, Paul said, but I would have, or not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or those who have died. For ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, they also with them. They also, He said, for this, let me back up. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep of those who have died. The dead will rise first, he said. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then notice this last verse, verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. See, the premillennial doctrine says that the rapture will be silent. People just disappear. Nobody will know about it. But this says that there will be a great shout from heaven, the voice of the archangel. Everybody will know it. And the Lord will not return to the earth again. They'll be caught up to meet him in the air. So shall they ever meet the Lord. But back in May, or in 2011, you might remember this, a fellow by the name of Harold Camping, you remember him? Harold Camping, he's a false teacher. He predicted that the day of judgment would come on May the 21st, 2011. Here we are, exactly 6 years and 8 months to the day past that date. Past that date. So Harold Camping, he began serving as a broadcaster. He was with the American Christian Radio Broadcasting Company, and he was an evangelist, and he served as president of the Family Radio, a California faith radio station. He had markets in over 150 markets. But he's notable of issuing multiple failed predictions of dates for the end times, which temporarily gained him a global following and millions of dollars of donations. He predicted that Christ would return to the earth on May the 21st, 2011, whereupon the saved would be taken up to heaven in the rapture, that there would be follow 5 months of fire, brimstone, and plagues on earth, with millions of people dying each day, culminating on October the 21st, 2011, with the final destruction of the world. He had previously predicted the judgment would occur on or about September the 6th, 1994. Second failure. So his prediction for May 21st, 2011 was widely reported. It was on the news. He was over in Alameda in that area of the Bay Area. And he had a large-scale publicity campaign by the Family Radio, and it promoted or prompted ridicule from atheist organizations, other Christian organizations. After May 21st passed, without the predicted incident happening, he said that he believed that a spiritual judgment had occurred on that day, and that the physical rapture would occur October the 21st, 2011, simultaneously with the final destruction of the universe by God, except for one press appearance on May the 23rd, 2011, Camping largely avoided the press. Later in June of 2011, he suffered a stroke. So after October 21st, 2011 passed without the predicted apocalypse, the mainstream media labeled Camping as a false teacher or a false prophet. I wonder why they had to wait after the second failed prediction to label him a false prophet. And then Camping admitted in a private interview that he no longer believed that anybody could know the time of rapture or the end of the world, in stark contrast to his previously staunch position on the subject. So all we have to do is read our Bible, isn't it? So we see this Associated Press article. I'll read it in part. It says there on May the 21st, that will mark the second coming of Christ, or at least that's what some Christian groups believe. The date was calculated by Harold Camping, the leader of an independent Christian ministry called Family Radio Worldwide, which is based in Oakland, California. Camping's date is based on his interpretation of the Bible. Camping's group is the only one following this apocalyptic prediction, though he says a number of loosely affiliated websites and radio broadcasts have created a movement independent of churches that have organized to proclaim the day as the end of the world. Billboards, bus stops, or bus stop benches, and traveling caravans of RVs from Bridgeport, Connecticut to the Little Rock, Arkansas are being used to spread the word, according to the AP. Allison Warden, pictured there. There's Allison Warden in her car with a date on it. Says, remember that day. Save that day. Allison Warden has been helping to organize a campaign not only through billboards and postcards, but through the web using her site entitled We Can Know. Camping, 89 at the time, says the Bible acts as a calendar by which the date of prophecy can be calculated. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, he says, May 21st will be the date of the rapture and the day of judgment, called the AP. See, it didn't happen. This lady right here is going to have to get a new paint job in her car because that date didn't happen, did it? So there's other evidence in the scripture of this false teacher. So you see buses, you see young ladies with the t-shirts on wearing this and promoting this date. But what did Jesus say? Over in Matthew chapter 24, verse 11, it says, "And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many." These young ladies were deceived, weren't they? Think about all the money that was spent to paint these vehicles for the advertising, all for nothing. I wonder what their faith is like today. That's what I wonder. I wonder what they're thinking today about Harold Camping. Well, there have been other false prophets and failures. William Miller of the Seventh-day Adventists, he predicted October the 22nd, 1844. Ellen G. Wyatt of the Seventh-day Adventists, he predicted the 1950s would be the date. Joseph Smith, a Mormon, he predicted by 1891 or earlier Christ would come. Charles Cage Russell of the Jehovah's Witness predicted 1914. Pat Robinson of the Christian Broadcasting Network predicted by the end of 1982. We've heard of him on the TV. Lee Jane Rim of the Mission for Coming Days predicted October the 28th, 1992. Harold Camping, remember, he predicted the end on May 1994. Failed again. Shelby Corbett predicted 2007 the rapture would come. Then Ron Wheeland predicted April 17th, 2008. That didn't happen until later. He predicted May 27th, 2012. That didn't happen. So, take your Bible and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning at verse 19, where the text says, "There I'll rise up a prophet from among you, like you from among their brethren. I'll put my words in his mouth," referring to Jesus, "he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will hear or will not hear my words which he speaks in my name, I'll require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name which I have not commanded him to speak, or speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know that the word which the Lord has not spoken?" Here's the answer. Verse 22. "When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come to pass," he said, "if the thing does not come to pass or happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, he shall not be afraid of him." So all we have to do is go to the Bible. It's pretty simple when we go to God's Word. That's why we need sound doctrine, as we talked about this morning. We need it over and over again. Can never get enough. So we're going to talk about Bible truths of the great day. First of all, the great day coming is unpredictable, and no man knows when it will be. Because Jesus said so, that's why. And he says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." Matthew chapter 25, verse 13. Turn over to Matthew chapter 24. Let's look at what Jesus said beginning at verse 35. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 35. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 35, we'll start reading. And beginning at verse 35, he said in Matthew chapter 24, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But the day or of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as of the days of Noah," or Noah, "were so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away, all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And shall be, and shall two be in the field, the one taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not the hour, what hour your Lord doth cometh. But know this, that if the governor of the house had known and what watched the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and wise, the servant whom the Lord hath made ruler over his household to give the meat unto them in due season? Now blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. For the Lord has told us that we do not know the day or the hour. We just need to believe that, don't we? A man will not predict the day. He won't predict it. Next, the great day of judgment, or this great day, will come unexpectedly, like we just read. But also, notice what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 to 12. Peter talked about this day coming as a thief in the night. Now, we don't know when the thief's going to come. They don't call and tell us they're going to rob us at a certain period of time, do they? If they did, we'd be waiting on them. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 9, we see where Peter said, the Lord is not slack to turn his promise to come in town slackness, but is long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and all the works of the earth shall be burned up. So he will find many sleeping, most will not be prepared, they'll not be watching, as in the day of the universal flood. And there will be no excuses, no second chances, no appeals. The verdict will be final and eternal. So you must always be ready. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 13, therefore you know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Next, this great day will be unmistakable. Now, many judgments are by man are mistaken, aren't they? There will be no mistakes in this judgment. In Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse 31, Paul said, in times of this ignorance, God weeps us, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He said, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. There will be no mistakes. He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. So God will render righteous judgment. A lot of judgment we see in our court today. They're anything but righteous, aren't they? They're anything but righteous. But next, this day, the great day coming, will be a day of finality. Turn over to Matthew chapter 25, and we won't read all of that. But we see where Jesus talks about the separation of the sheep and the goats. And the sheep are represented as the righteous. And as we think about this day, we see where Jesus talks about the great day that's coming. And he said in verse 46 that the sheep and the goats would be separated. He would say to the sheep, come ye blessed. Come ye blessed. And he said, this shall the king say to them on the right hand, come ye blessed, my father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He said, for I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. See, the people who were on the righteous side of the king, great king, they're the ones who are obedient and doing the Lord's will. They don't have to be prodded into doing it. So this great separation is likened as a shepherd dividing the sheep from the goats. The sheep represent the righteous. The goats are the left. The final bow will be eternal life. In verse 46, we see them each will go into everlasting destruction or punishment, the unrighteous, but the righteous and the life eternal. So the goats are the unrighteous. And in verse 41, he'll say to them, depart from me, ye cursed and everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And their final vote will be everlasting punishment. Verse 46. It's like Jesus says, he shall go away to everlasting punishment. For the righteous and the life eternal. How long is everlasting? It's everlasting, isn't it? We have gospel preachers that don't believe that. They look at it as annihilation. Homer Haley promoted that idea. But we saw this chart a while back. The duration of heaven and hell are equal, aren't they? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, that these will go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous and the eternal life. See, the word everlasting from the Greek word aeonios, which means perpetual, also means of past time or past and future, as well, eternal, forever, everlasting, word is strong. You've got the same Greek word translated in English, eternal. Eternal, everlasting.
So what we do with one, we have to do with the other, don't we?
A lot of people, you know, we're talking about attitude, they believe heaven is eternal, but not hell.
See, this passage right here refutes that idea.
So what we do with one, we have to do with the other. The grace of heaven and hell are equal. It's everlasting. Next, this great day that's coming will be inescapable. You ever heard about prisoners escape? You know, some prisoners get away and they escape, and some have not been caught. You ever got out of something somebody wanted you to do? You ever missed an appointment? You won't miss this one. This will be an appointment that will not be missed. So it's inescapable. No one will be missed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, Paul says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to his done, whether they be good or bad. All, everyone. And then in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 32, the text says, there when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he set upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate the one from the other as a sheep divides or a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And be all nations. And in Romans chapter 2, verse 1 through 6, Paul said, therefore thou art excusable, O man, whosoever there thou art that judgest, for when that wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest does the same thing, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man that judgest, them which do such things and doest the same, thou that shall escape the judgment of God, or despisest thou the riches of the goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart turns up to thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who shall render to every man according to his deeds. Every man. Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verse 10 and 12, he says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou say that not thy brother? He said, for he shall stand, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So every person will be judged. Will be unescapable. Can't escape this. The Lord won't miss you. Have you ever been forgotten about? Somebody forgot to include you in something? The Lord won't forget you. which will be a day that's unimaginable. It's like no other day we've ever seen. And 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Peter said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. And the earth also, and the works of the earth shall be burned up. Then in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, it said, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. See, this is a real global warning we need to worry about right here, isn't it? There are politicians talk about global warming, but this is global warming you need to be worried about. Next, this day will be a universal day. In John chapter 5, verse 28, we read, Jesus said, all will hear and come forth from the grave. He said, marvel not at this hour, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good into the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil into the resurrection of damnation. See, according to the premillennial theory, the righteous will be raised in the rapture, caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and come back to the earth with him, and reign 1,000 years, and then the wicked will be raised and judged. But Jesus said, all will come forth from the grave. All will come forth from the grave. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. That includes everybody, doesn't it? The good and the evil. And as we read, and already read over in the Romans, also in Revelation, every eye will see him. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, it said, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kings of the earth shall wail because of him. See, under the reference here, it says that it will be a secret raising. People just disappear. Stuck right out of the shoes and beamed up to heaven. So, it's a false idea turned true. Then every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess God. In Romans chapter 14, as we read, he said, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. See, those that have rejected God all their lives and died in that rejection, then they will bow to him, then they will confess him. Then everyone will give an account, as we read in Romans chapter 14, verse 12. Then also everything will be burned up, the heavens and earth and all works will be destroyed with fervent heat. As we read it in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, he said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. All the works of the grave shall be burned up. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Remember that. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. This day of judgment, this great day coming, the day of judgment, it's a day that is unpredictable. It will come unexpectedly. It will be unmistakable. There will be no doubt about what day it is. It won't be like those over in Hawaii who they got that notice that there was a missile coming in, everybody ducking for cover, and they weren't sure what was going on, and everybody will know it. It will be a day of finality. It will be inescapable. It will be unimaginable. It will be universal. Finally, Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, sustain them, that all these things will be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of the Lord, when the heavens will be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, he said, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells the righteous. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. So what shall we do? We need to prepare for this day, don't we? What shall we do? Well, number one, we need to obey the gospel. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 7 and 8, we read this. And he said unto you who are troubled, rest with us, that the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, and flaming fire taking vengeance of those who obey not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, they said, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Then we need to search the scriptures daily. Now, if those people that were deceived by Harold Camping had searched the scriptures daily, they wouldn't have been deceived in the first place. And if you search the scriptures daily, you won't be deceived by anybody else that comes along promoting these end of time predictions. Paul spoke of those in Berea. He said, these are more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they search the scriptures, or receive the word with all readiness of mind, and search the scriptures daily to see whether those things are so. So don't take my word for it. Don't take any other man's word for it when he predicts something. Search the scriptures daily. Then we need to live soberly, rightly, and godly. Paul told Titus, he said, for the grace of God that brings salvation appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, rightly, and godly in this present world. Because our eternal destiny depends on that, doesn't it? Then we need to be faithful unto death. Paul told those, or John told those in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, it says, fear not those things which thou shalt suffer. That is the persecutions they would have to endure. He said, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and shall have tribulation 10 days, or a short time as compared to eternity. But he said, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Remember Paul? He encouraged Timothy to take up the sword after him. He was faithful, knowing that he was soon to be martyred. Then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, Paul said, as we read this morning, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all to all them also that love his appearing. So we can receive the crown if we're faithful, like Paul was. For we willing to endure whatever comes along. Like those of Revelation chapter 2. He spoke of Antipas, the solemn martyr, the faithful martyr. People martyred for believing God and professing of Christ. What a shame it is on those, on the part of those who would kill somebody for that. What a shame it is. And finally, we need to take heed and watch and pray. Jesus said, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Speaking of the great day that's coming. So, here's the final question. Are you ready? Am I ready? We're going to sing the song, the great day's coming. Shall we stand while we sing, have a leader?